for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 26th, 2018. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on No Other Foundation. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
We want deliverance without the deliverer. Do you hear that? Let me tell you something. You may fool Mama, but you ain't going to fool God. You're not going to fool Him. But we come and we want to be delivered from some things. But we don't want to really I surrender all. Is your all on the altar laid, of the sacrifice laid? That's another old song we used to sing. And so we come, we want to be set free from some things. But God wants to make you free. Make you a different person. The axe, John the Baptist said, the axe is put to the root. Your root has to change. What you are has to change. You cannot continue being what you are and just fix some things. It's, you know what? So you, what's the difference? You chop off a limb. I don't know if what trees y'all have. If you chop off a bodark limb, you're going to have 20 more things shoot out from it. You can cut it to the ground and you're going to have a whole bushel of bodark trees come up. Y'all know what a bodark tree is. Do you know what a bodark tree is? Oh my goodness. You haven't been to Texas. You know what a horse apple is? About this big around, green and bumpy. Well, I don't know where y'all at, but that's not what we call it. If you cut into a bodark tree, what color is it? Anybody? This is a quiz. It's orange or yellow if you cut into it. Osage orange is what it's called. You cut into it, it's yellow. You can cut it when it's green. But I'm telling you, when it's got old, you're going to tear your chainsaw up. And the older it gets, the harder it gets. And I don't know here, but you come to Texas, there's still a lot of bodark fence posts. Crooked as they can be, but they're there. One time a man, he needed some fence posts, and I had there's a whole stack laying there, and I gave him some. I think he was offended. And he didn't know what they were. What, you know, he took them and he'd come back and say, you got some more of those? Steel post, T-post has replaced them. Anyway, so I don't know why I talk about a boat archery. Anyway, information. Thank you. Information, praise God. This whole thing is about Christ. You got to understand that. It's not about you and it's not about me. It is not. Heaven is not even for you. Do you understand that? Heaven's already there. Heaven's the place God lives. You might get to go there if you're transformed into the image of Christ. But it's not for you and me. Hallelujah. The only purpose that God has in saving us is that His Son might have a bride. That's the only reason. Working in the jail. You heard it, jailhouse religion. I'm sorry, but it's true for most of them. When you walk out of a lot of prisons, there'll be a can over there and they're throwing their Bibles in it. They don't need it anymore. They went to the Bible study so it looked good to the parole board. How many, when we were going to the jail, said, I'll be at your church, I'll be at your church. I've had them write me letters. As soon as I get, I'll be at your church. Never saw them. Praise God. Just using God. Don't you think we're going to stand before God and give an answer for that? But look at us. Using God to pay your bills. To get out of your problems. To make your wife treat you right. Your kids behave. Your boss act right. Just using God. You don't want Him. You want what He can do for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't we not to repent? Do you want just Him? You know what it says? It says we're so full of self and so selfish. And that's why He said you got to crucify the flesh and deny self. Put self down. Now, here, He's saying that, let's look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You've got something in your members. It's called the law of sin. You can read back up. He says it in other verses, saying the same thing. There's something operating in you. Do you know that? It's there. And as I was saying, you think, well, this time I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go down that street. I'm not going to talk to that person. And I won't do it. But then, here it comes. You know what I'm talking about. And it gets that thing gets so big and strong, you find yourself doing it. But you weren't going to do it. And so He says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? Who shall deliver me from the body of death? Wretched man. I'll never forget one time I was in Lindale, Texas at it's called Calvary Commission. And Leonard Ravenhill, if you've ever heard of Leonard Ravenhill, I got to hear him twice. He was in his 90s. And he was speaking, barely raised his voice. When he got through, they're on their knees, pouring their heart out. I'll never forget a young man over by, it was in by a fireplace there. And just, I mean, it sounded like it was painful to hear him. Oh, wretched man that I am. He's just overwhelmed and overcome at how wretched he is. Have you come to the place yet where you realize how wretched you are? Or do you think you were almost saved? And God really found a good deal when He found you. And all you need is a little polishing and you're all right. Or do you know that you were altogether different from Him? That you were in darkness, great darkness. You were lost and without hope. And you were wretched. Do you know that? Pride needs to go out, doesn't it? Well, so what's the answer? Verse 25, I thank God. Thank God there's an answer. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's nothing else for us, folks. No one else for us. If you miss Him, you missed it all. I don't care what you got delivered from. If the man in the tombs, that they couldn't keep, he'd break the chains, he cut himself, he was naked, he's crying out all the time. No man could tame him. They had to walk wide around that man. Jesus spoke a word, and he was healed, he was delivered, he was set, made free. He was set free at that time, but is he going to be made free? Unless he goes on, I don't care who we are, unless we go on and find Christ and are changed in the same image and fall in love with Him and become intimate with Him and know Him, whom to know is life. And unless He becomes our life, and unless it becomes no longer I'm living but He's living, unless that happens, folks, how are we any better off? You're still wretched. You're still wretched. I'm still wretched. But through Jesus Christ our Lord, God has nothing else to offer us but His Son. Only His Son. It's His only plan. It's His only answer. Is His Son. And we're living in a time where the churches are Christless. And Christians are Christless. They just bear the name. And now, you know, we was in when we were in Wisconsin, they have a lot of YMCAs, but you know what? Now it says Y, just a Y. I was going, why does it say just a Y? Well, there's a problem. Young Christian Men's Association. Can't say that word, you know. Christ. Do you know the politicians can say God bless America till the cows come home, but they better not say Jesus bless America or Christ bless America. They better not say that. Is that right? So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, in Christ Jesus, there are two levels. Christ in us, us in Christ. That is two different levels. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is anybody in here? Can any of us claim that? That's me. You found him. All things are new. Eureka. You know. Had a lady in my church one time tried to claim that. She said, you don't have anybody in your church closer to God than me. She was complaining because God wasn't answering her prayer. You know, she wanted me to know that. That's a sure sign she's not, you know. But anyway, in Christ. Now, Christ in me, that's where it starts. Christ comes in by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way he can come in. Where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. How can we ever know him, see him? It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. God never came to this earth. He sent his Son. But his Son said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now the Holy Spirit's here, and the Holy Spirit shows us Christ. Again, back to John chapter 16. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. All right? So that's the only way he can live in us, is by the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He's being revealed in us. There's an outward revelation, that's dreams, visions, teachings. There's a young man in my church one time, he was drunk, and in his truck he had a wreck, and he saw Jesus in his truck. He didn't change, but he saw Jesus in his truck, you know. Outward revelations don't change. Outward sightings, visions, dreams don't change. They do not change us. Okay, then there's an inward revelation that does change us according to 2 Corinthians 3:18. It changes us into the image of Christ. That's how it happens. The Holy Spirit shows you Christ, and you have a choice. Am I going to do what the Holy Spirit is showing me, or am I going to continue to do what I want to do? The Holy Spirit, do you understand what I'm saying when I say He checks you? You're talking, you're running your mouth, and you feel a check of the Holy Spirit. How many of you just keep right on going? Just keep right on. Or do you stop in the middle of the sentence? Oh, I've got to finish the sentence. The devil will tell you, aren't you, might as well say it. That's a lie. Right? Bring every thought to captivity and obedience to Christ. Not speak it out because you had the thought. All right? There used to be a little old lady in our church that said, I just speak my mind. She needed to quit, you know. I open my head, you know, that's another terminology she used. Praise God. She had a brother that was a pastor, and she'd go out and visit him every once in a while. She'd come back, and she'd stand up and testify. She'd get out in the aisle. Oh, they had such a wonderful service over there. Oh, it's the greatest preacher I ever had. Heard, hey, lady, where are you at, Sanders? Praise God. One time we went to a meeting, and the young pastor got up and he preached, and he screamed and hollered and spit and sweat. And he said, I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm not going to preach anything but the Word of God, and I'm just going to preach the Word of God. And he went on and on and on and never did preach it, but he's going to tell us he did. And he hollered loud enough, and on the way home, this same lady sitting in the back seat, and she's back there, this overcome. She said, oh, I never heard such a sermon. You know? Oh, what did he say? Praise God. Listen, we had a young, he was assistant pastor in our church for a while, and he's a friend. But He literally jumped the pews. One pew to the other. Jump up on the platform. Did everything but fly. Loud. And all this just overcome. Oh, you go, this is this. What did he say? Did he have anything to say? Praise God. Don't be impressed with that. I have a preacher hairdo, but I don't have enough hair. Wear the preacher clothes. It's not so much as it used to be. Used to, you could spot a preacher from a mile. I mean, well, not a mile, but you know, you could spot him for a long distance because he had the preacher hairdo. Especially if you're Pentecostal, you know. And you could spot the Pentecostal women. And I don't think there's a single one in here. I'm looking. I'm surveying. Anybody got a bun on your head? Then you ain't Pentecostal. United Pentecostal still. One time we were sitting in a great big old church at a conference, and this lady had one on her head, looked like a beehive. Stuck up here. I'm not lying to you. And all you could see and think about during the whole service is her beehive up there on her head. It was her glory. I thought, man, I wonder how long it took her to put that thing together and get it up there and make it look right, you know. United Pentecostal women mostly still do. One time I was at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I got behind one and I just got so angry. I just wanted to ram her car. But you don't know why. You don't know why. And I'm not going to tell you. Praise God. If I did everything I came into my mind, I'd be in jail. So would you. So would you. One time there's a man, we had ducks. And they lived across the road from us, and they would feed our ducks. They said, these ducks are wonderful. And they, two or three times a day, here they all go in a row. Your ducks in a row, you know, you got all your ducks in a row, go across the street, they'd feed them. But then they start pooping on their porch. And things went south. And so he came to my, we were building a house, he come down there and said, now, Brother Pinson, you're going to have to get rid of those ducks. I said, why, Frank? Well, and finally I said, Frank, just quit feeding them. They'll quit coming over there. And he wouldn't shut up. And he kept on, and he kept on. And he just kept on. I said, Frank, I heard you. You can go now, Frank. Okay, Frank. And I had a vision. Of picking up a stick and hitting him in the head. That's right. I'd shut that mouth up. One time I worked in a grocery store and it was my break time, and there's a gal there, she didn't like me too much, and they wanted me to come off my break and check because we were real busy, but you can't do that. It's a union contract. I get in trouble. But anyway, she's checking me out and she's standing there and her jaws are quivering. And you call yourself a preacher. I thought I could fix that jaw. If we did everything we think, it wouldn't be good, would it? Would it? Oh my God, help us. Bring every thought captivity and obedience to Christ. What does that mean? Obedience to the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:10, he shows you Christ. He reveals him in him, in you. All right, you got to bring every thought captive to obedience to what he's showing you. He checks you about things. He tells you why, you know, he deals with you, right? He deals with you. He's revealing Christ. You have a choice. Am I going to obey what he's showing me about Christ, or am I going to continue doing what I'm doing? What do you do? Praise God. Now, the levels. Christ is in me, but he's in my house, and I'm still in charge. Do you understand that? When I'm in Christ, whose house am I in? His house. He's in charge. So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And John, 1 John 3, if you want to read, you want to talk about a tough chapter. He said, he that sins is of the devil. That's pretty hard. Says he doesn't know God is, but he said if his seed remains in us, we cannot sin. Wow, how do you get there? If the image of Christ Look, and let me give you this. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. God has a way. You can read about it in Hebrews 12, the chastening of the Lord. Not just chastening, the scourging of the Lord. Every son he receives, he scourges. What does that word mean? He beats. He will beat you. I'm telling you, he'll beat you. I don't like that. Well, you want to go to heaven? We need it, folks. Oh my God, we need it. We're so stubborn. I am standing here confessing to you how stubborn and rebellious and hard-hearted, not hard-hearted, but hard-headed I am. How disobedient I am. I need it. I got one right there. You can look at our van out there. We got it in the side of the van. A young lady ran into our van on her cell phone, ran a stop sign. Praise God. He knows how. And you think it's the devil. I heard this preacher say this lady kept, I think it was a lady, kept rebuking the devil. Rebuking the devil. And the Lord spoke and said, you say that one more time. Because it wasn't the devil, it was him. How many of your parents disciplined you? I know most of you are going to have to be older, the older set. It's true. My dad used to belt.
My father used to
2x4. My dad used a 2x4 on his cow, knocked it out, thought he killed it. He was very upset because it was very expensive.
He thought the belt was too good.
The belt was too good. My dad would beat me. Now, they didn't have CPS then. Okay. And I went to school, and we had to dress out in gym. You don't take a shower. I had stripes on me, purple, black, blue, yellow stripes on me. I would have been in foster care. Thank God they didn't. You know what? I wish my dad had found out some other things I was doing and beat that out of me. I do. I wish I hadn't been so successful in hiding some things. My youngest son, I had a vision of him, and I saw him behind bars. I saw him behind bars. I knew the Lord was warning me. Praise God. And so I had to really, you know, buckle down on that boy. He's big. He's tall. Big old boy. And there were some things he was doing that I didn't take care of it. His lawnmower wouldn't start. And he went and got his gun and shot it full of holes. Don't move to Texas. Shot it full of holes. I didn't get that out of it. He'd get mad, kick stuff. Break stuff, you know. I should have beat him a little more on that point. Praise God. You know what? And you understand the way the world's telling us to raise children now is totally opposite from what that word says. But they've got the upper hand on this, folks. You got little ones. You better get them in line before they get old enough.
That's right.
You better do it quick and hurt in a hurry. Praise God. I've heard of parents though. They said, now I don't know, and I'm not being racist here, please. But I know them, those black women in Walmart, they'll whack them.
That's right.
Nobody bothers them. Thank God they're not afraid of them. But you know what? I've heard parents say, look, I'm going to discipline my kid, and if you don't like the way I do, you can come get them and you can raise them.
Yeah.
Call their hand on it.
Uh-huh.
It's because you love them. How many of your parents told you, I'm doing this because I love you? It hurts me worse than it hurts you. I don't know, sir. I'm the one with the stripes, not you. I heard of this black lady evangelist, and one of the favorite preachers I ever heard in my life. She told her grandfather, hanging her sons upside down by a rope, naked, over a pot that was smoldering. I don't know if that's how good that is, but I'll tell you what my grand... I don't know why I'm saying this. Please forgive me. My grandfather, my dad was a family of 13, a lot of boys, and one day he found out some of them went up in town and got in a fight. Oh my. They've grown. They got home and he took a harness and whooped those boys. Said, no son of mine's going to town getting in fights. You're not going to do it. Of course, he's a very big man. But, you know, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you God loves you enough to whoop you, to form Christ in you, to teach you. We have a wood-burning heater, and my grandkids, you know, they want to walk over there and touch it. And they run and grab them. Oh, don't touch it, don't touch it. I don't touch that. I said, quit that. Let them touch it one time. You'll never have to tell them again. Never have to tell them again. It's fixed. Save your breath. I remember who it is. There's somebody in our church. They yell at their kids. If you go anywhere with them, you're going to hear this. I said, you know what? Why don't you just smack them at the beginning of the day, get it over with, and we'll have peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So sorry for all this. I'm so sorry.
It's okay because we need the church. We need the Lord to deal with our hearts.
Yes.
He needs to come out of his heart.
Yes.
He truly is.
Yes.
He needs to come out of his heart. Straighten us out.
For 7 years, and the church I pastored, it's like somebody flipped. We were doing so good, folks. Oh, my. Money, the attendance. Somebody flipped the switch and they left. Had 11 people left. Brand new big building. 7 long years. I'd go up to church and lay on the platform and cry. We thought it was the only time ever in these 40 years thought we'd have to literally close the church. It was embarrassing. I knew there were a lot of people that left waiting for me to leave so they'd come back and get it, you know. I wasn't trying to outweigh them. If God had let me go somewhere else, I would have went. It's silly, you know. I'm not trying to hold on to a building. I'd go up there and cry. I heard of a pastor that his church owed, I believe it was $40,000 is going to be due the next day. And they didn't have the money. And he went up and he's going to pray all night. And he felt like God was going to answer prayer. He felt release. He went home and got in bed. Then he got up. His wife said, what you doing? He said, I'm going back to church. She said, I thought you said that you felt like you got a release. He said, I don't know, but I've got to go back. So he's up there and it's still dark. And he's down at the altar praying. It's a big old church in Beaumont, Texas. And he's praying. And somebody taps him on the shoulder. Says, I want to make a donation. Where do we do it? Here in the office. Said, doesn't matter. He paid off $5-$10, you know. That lady counts out the exact amount. Thousands of dollars on that altar. So I'm going up there and laying on the platform so somebody come tap me on the shoulder. Yes. Praise God. Nobody ever did. No angels appeared. Nothing. Except I cried, and when I went home, I felt better. 7 long years. The Lord spoke to me and said He'd send some of them back. 7 years to the month, every one of them came back.
Thank you,
Lord. Wait a minute. They didn't stay. There's a few of them there. But the thing is, I was blaming myself. You know how it is. You blame yourself. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? There were things in my life that, you know, the devil said, it's because of you doing this and doing that. And accused me over. And he was telling the truth. But I'd repented the best I knew how. But when they came back and didn't stay the second time, then, hey, it's not me. I thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't take anything for those 7 years. Oh, my God, I wouldn't take anything for them. One time we had both assistant pastors leave. They conspired, did it together. We lost so much. Teachers in our Christian school, piano player, song leader. Some went with them. We lost so many. You know what? It made me a better pastor and a better preacher. In fact, I had to do everything for a while. Lead songs, do the whole thing. Praise God. I thank God. I thank God. Stand with me. Praise God. Let us thank Him now. for his discipline. Would you do that? Maybe he'll bring to your mind an image, I'll show you, and you thank him and say, you've been bitter and hurt over it. Thank him for it. Embrace it. He will not allow more to be put on you than what you're able to bear. But with every temptation, test, or trial, he'll provide a way to escape. Praise his name. Praise his name. Folks, God's not mean to us. But he knows he's only got a certain amount of time, every one of us, a certain amount of time, for that change to take place. For us to change from what we are to what he is. And he's got many things at his disposal to work on us with. You understand that? Many things. We could have cut a lot of that short and avoided a lot, but we're so stubborn and hard-headed that he had to take another route. Is that right? Not his fault, it's our fault. But thank God he did it, and he hasn't given up on you. Whom he loves, he chastens, folks. If you're not being chastened, he said, you're illegitimate. You're not even his child. I thank you, Lord. One of the Wesley brothers was riding his circuit on his horse. And he realized, I don't know if it's Charles or Wesley, but he realized that nobody had thrown anything at him in a while. He got off his horse and knelt down there by the road and began to repent. Repent. He's repenting, and after a while he feels something hit the back of his head. And he says, thank you, Lord. Got back on his horse and went on. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He realized, I must not be living godly. All the hidden things in our heart and our life, right? What's hidden in your heart this afternoon? God knows it's there. You know it's there. The anger, the bitterness, the lust, things you're looking at, listening to, roving eye. I have a friend that for a long time, when he walked into Walmart or anywhere, he had to keep his head down, look at the floor, so he wasn't lusting. God showed him to do that. It was his way of escape, provide a way of escape. And God gave him victory. He doesn't have to do that anymore. Praise God. But you can't tell everybody else to do that. You can't. How he deals with you, it may not be how he deals with someone else. You understand what I'm saying? It's between you and God. But oh God, let him deal with you. Let him deal with you. Let him love on you. Let him love on you, praise God, by dealing with you. Disciplining you. Chastening you. Scourging you. Oh, praise God. God's not raising brats. No, he's not. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's just wait on the Lord here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit.
Coriandu Sarapa, 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 Coriandu.
The Lord is saying, don't miss your day of salvation. Don't miss your time. Don't let it pass you by. He said, how long am I going to have to deal with you? My spirit shall not always strive with man. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to continue doing what you want to do? How long are you going to spurn me, the Lord says? How long are you going to be hateful toward me? and choose others over me and things over me. Did they die for you? Can they save you? Can they change you? Can they heal you? Can they deliver you? Why are you choosing them? Why are you choosing those things? I offer you life. I'm offering you life. But you continue to choose death. The Lord says, so be it. So be it. Have it your way. Have what you want. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Obey God, but just know that it's going to be judged. Okay? I want you to know that. But you obey God. If you know it's God, you obey Him.
The Lord would say unto you, I will be found by you when you seek me with your whole heart. Seek me with all your strength. Seek me with all of your heart. Seek for me and I will be found by you. I'm not far from you. But where are you hiding at? Which sin has separated you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Where are you hiding? Adam, where are you? Come unto me, and I will wash you. Come unto me, and I will cleanse you. Come unto me, and I will heal you. Come unto me, and I will deliver you. Stay where you are, and you're choosing the path of Cain. You're going to do a work of salvation. You're going to put your own sacrifices on the altar, and you're going to die in your sin. Come unto the fountain of life, and receive the living water that poured out of the side of my Son when he was crucified on the cross. That was his blood. That was an acceptable sacrifice. That was living water that was shed so you could be cleansed.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Obey God.
That I may know him. The power of his resurrection.
Fellowship. Are you there? Are we there? Do we want to be there? Do we want to come to that? What's our heart's desire? I am telling you, God knows if you came here just to use him instead of finding him. He knows. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's more room up here if you want to come. You can stand or kneel. Hallelujah. Repentance is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. Praise God. He said, repent and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the stand. We'll come and pray for you. Praise God. You that are kneeling, if you feel like you have tell them what you need to do if you want us to stand for prayer. We'll just open this up for people to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just come to the Lord. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.